communicator, Stephen Ward.
This sound was recorded on the 26th. This sound was recorded on the 26th of October, 1967, medium Richard.
You see, we see the world and the condition of the world, and not in a just we from our own particular sphere, but thousands of systems in different spheres, according to our evolution and development, they're all trying to make some sort of contact with us. It's only natural. I mean, the point is that people on Earth, they realize these things, and when they see something or experience something, it seems so extraordinary or unique that they think it, well,
invariably,
yes, but of course that's it, you see. There's so much fear in the world, and the point is that anyone seeing anything immediately assumes that it's something that isn't good. Oh, that it's coming from some source that isn't good. They don't seem to realize that all the goodness lies outside man's sphere of things. I mean, the spiritual sphere and the planetary systems which are occupied, those planets which are definitely occupied by superior beings, all the efforts made to communicate with man are for good. But man and his twisted mind assumes that everything must be for evil or for bad.
Yes, yes.
Well, there's no doubt about it that you're living in an age where the science is making certain progress, at least in certain directions, and you're certainly living in an age which, before the end of the century anyway, before the year 2000, there'll be no doubt about communication between your world and the planet, and the planet communicating with your world. And there'll be an intermingling, I'm so sure of that, of the systems, of the different services, of the different spheres and so on. I think that this is the beginning of something tremendous. And if we're to the desire, of course, is to make progress in this direction before the world, well, just sort of kills itself, you might say, or blows itself up for something.
Is this the Armageddon, as they
call
it?
Well, I suppose you can call it that. I mean, all sorts of expressions one might use. The point is this, you see, that man is obviously, by his thoughts and his actions, bringing into being forces which, by their very nature, could be so highly dangerous.
Yes.
I mean, the scientific experiments that are being made, they're very disturbing in the atmosphere alone, I think. That is another reason, you see, people don't understand it, but you cannot send all these things out into the atmosphere without them having some repercussion or effect. I mean, this recent business of the Russians, it has a repercussion, it's bound to, and it's bound to have an effect. And naturally, there are souls on the different spheres who are concerned about these things, and are anxious to contact Earth and to give warnings where necessary, because man is obviously doing certain things which are detrimental to himself, and to some extent, not exactly detrimental, but they're not good things, they're not helpful, inasmuch as they can affect the atmosphere, and they can bring all sorts of complications. And if only man only realizes that some of these experiments are dangerous, from the point of view of health, quite apart from the fact that there are other difficult things involved. You see, you're living in an age which, really, quite frankly, in some respects, is not only dangerous, but, well, it's suicidal. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yes.
You see, after all, you can go on and you can experiment in all sorts of ways and you can gain a certain amount of knowledge and indeed a certain amount of good can come from things, but they are doing certain things at the moment which, quite frankly, the repercussions could be pretty grim, at least to it. And it's only natural that people on different planets also tend to contact Earth. But because of their motives and because of the circumstances of their attempts, they are endeavouring to do everything they can that is good and trying to warn Earth. The least sightings that you had of these different planets, these different spaceships, or whatever you like to call them, these are definitely vehicles. I know not vehicles and such, but they're sent out to sight and to see, and they're manned by people. Not so dissimilar from earthly people, but much more highly evolved scientifically and mentally and spiritually for that matter. You see, we're trying, but in every possible conceivable way, to contact us. Long, long time ago, it was foretold that there would be communication between your world and ours of a very strong scientific nature. And this is beginning, this is the beginning. Mm-hmm. You see, people don't seem to realize that we inhabit worlds just as real to us as yours are to you. I mean, we talk about spheres and so on, but these spheres are not spheres which are in the atmosphere. These are worlds as real to us as yours are to you, yours is to you, and all these different worlds, according to their nearness to us, particularly, are trying to affect the communication. And there's no doubt about it, there's a certain amount of success in certain directions for certain planets.
But these spaceships that you talk about, is it possible for them to come down so low down to the earth?
Yes, and there's no doubt that some have landed in different places. And although I probably shouldn't say this, I don't really know for certain, but I have very good reason to believe that there are individuals, if I can put that term to, who are now already on the earth.
And
they are working in their own fashion, in their own way, under direction from other souls on certain planets, for the eventual, this sounds almost mad, but sounds like space fiction or something, but they are doing this for the obvious reason that they want to save the world from itself. They want to do as much good as they possibly can, and these spaceships do come, and they do sometimes land, and sometimes individuals for a short space of time spend some time on Earth, and then go back and report.
But how can they spend that time on Earth? How?
But you see, they can be invisible.
Oh, can they?
Oh, yes. You see, they have this ability by, I don't know how to explain this, it all sounds so crazy, but I can only tell you what I know and what I've been told and what I've experienced myself.
Yes.
And there's no doubt about it that they have this power. When they enter into the material condition of life, once they have entered into it, they can, I don't know whether it's a natural thing because of their vibration, but they can assume, or at least they are, invisible as such, and they can enter into certain aspects of your life, not completely of course, but in a kind of mental process, in a mental way, and they can sort of, they can influence, and they become temporarily a part of your life, but not in shape or form as much as by mind,
I see.
Power of thought.
I see. yes. Yes, thank you, Stephen.
It's impossible to explain this, should I? Because the more one tries to explain, the more crazy it seems. But the point is that you are having, naturally, even more sightings of these spacecraft. And they are definitely inhabited, or if that's the word to use, by people who have mind and ability to direct and ability to take on, temporarily anyway, when in the earthly condition, some aspects of that thought and action, but they're not, as I put it, these spacecraft are very real, and they're not just illusions, they're not just something that someone imagined. And indeed, I think it may be even feasible and possible that they will be photographed in such a way that there'll be no shadow of doubt about the reality of them, and it is even feasible and possible that one could possibly remain, or be, I suppose you use the word capture, but that isn't the word I like to use. The point is that I don't think that if one landed for any length of time, and this is an important point, I think, if it were to land and stay for any length of time, that it would remain. I think that after time it would disintegrate because of the Earth's influence or Earth's condition.
And what happens to those of our own space?
Yes, well, you see, this is something I can't explain, except in that I've already said that they don't enter into the physical condition quite in the same way.
Ah, I was wondering.
They enter into the physical condition more in the mental sense, and they are able to remain temporarily for perhaps not very long in your time. I don't know exactly the full detail, but I think whereas it is impossible for them to disintegrate, because they're not in a sense physical, but a spacecraft, the one in United Court, is built of substances, and it is polarized, I think is the word, in effect quite right, but directed by certain forces. But there again, these spacecraft do not stay for any length of time, and they travel at such tremendous speed. I mean, the speed is fantastic at which they travel. And the miracle is, I think, that they are able to remain stationary on land, and they obviously do, but I don't think they stay very many seconds of your time, except in perhaps temporarily for a second or two to release a thought force individual, I don't know how to put it, who may reconnoitre, I suppose you call it, or in some way enter into certain aspects of life temporarily, and then they are picked up again. But this outer shell or covering in itself is merely like you would experience with a materialization sound. But this is something which doesn't last very long only under certain conditions. And the obvious thing is that these crafts are energized to such an extent that they can energize the individuals concerned temporarily. And they are, I don't know how to put this, but they are giving out a force of energy and a power and a substance even. I don't know how to explain the substance thing, but they're done by it that they are power stations temporarily so, while on Earth, to make possible the communication of a kind of the individual or souls who are stressing their mental processes and thoughts on Earth vibration temporarily. And there's no doubt that they do stay sometimes on rare occasions for quite a little while, but these bandings are going to be much more definite, and I think that there's obviously going to be a tremendous amount of effort put into this in the coming months. And I think that also, strange as it may seem, there are certain special times when these things are able to manifest or to land or to be seen even than others. I don't quite know what it is to do with the atmospheric conditions or what it is. I really honestly don't know this. I mean, they assume this, but it does seem that there are certain conditions which are more conducive to that communication or rather to that landing or to be able to be seen by human beings. I'm afraid all this must be terribly vague, very non-scientific, but the whole point is
are there
ways or means that one can explain these things in a material sense or material language. But I am convinced, and I stake my reputation on this for such a reason, that within the coming week there will be some extraordinary manifestation of these objects, which will be highly, from the point of view of the science, perhaps, evidential. In other words, what I mean is I think there will be much more than just a few odd people saying, oh, we saw this or we saw that. I think there's going to be something very, very definite. I mean, when one of these objects lands, really, I'm talking about actually landing when it's touching ground. Owing to the intense heat, for instance, of the object and the speed at which it's travelled, it does burn, unfortunately, the area where it lands. And any one object that lands in that particular spot, it will leave behind, it cannot avoid it, where the heat has burnt the ground or the grass a bit or the shrubbery.
Yes.
And this will be another point that will be spoken about, no doubt, in the next 2 weeks, because this will also be another, if you like, an evidential point of something unusual. But there are going to be unusual happenings. And these are all pointers that only people can realize it in the right direction for the good of man. Everything that is happening in this way, I can assure you that, if nothing else, is for man's ultimate good. Because we are concerned, not only we who come to you, as you understand, in eternal spirit, but other entities and souls from other planets, and there are not just two or three, but thousands of planets, thousands of worlds, far, far superior to the Earth world, far superior in knowledge of experience and in evolution and development and personality, character, everything. And these are real entities, the real living people, and many of them, of course, are people who lived on Earth over the centuries and have entered into a new life and vibrated into a new harmony of being. And of course the magnificence that some of these beings is beyond expression. I mean, I know this, but you see, I only can speak in a sense of my own personal life and my own personal experience, but I've heard so much talked about this great army, if you like to call it that, of souls who are endeavouring to contact Earth, not just as I contact you in the sounds, but in a more scientific way, in a more definite way. You see, we are so anxious. Every soul that's involved in this, on the different levels of consciousness, are all anxious to be of service and to help each other and mankind, because you see, we all feel that we are essentially bound together.
Yes.
I mean, you may be in a material body, the material world, in the sense, of course, that we have it going on a material basis of a much lower order, but nevertheless, you are very real to us, because you're all part of the same power, the same force of life that is behind all of us, whether we come from this planet or that sphere or that condition. We are all varying degrees, but nevertheless, all of the same spirits. We are all part of the same force of power which animates us all and gives us life. All this is life manifesting itself in different ways. And there's no doubt that science will prove more and more as time goes on the reality of it. But these sightings are the beginning of great things, and they're not things to fear.
No. Well, by their very thoughts, knowledgeable people on your side of life ought to impinge their thoughts onto these great scientists and make them realize the things and go on doing their scientific work until
they... Well, of course, that is the whole idea. I mean, the point is that the scientists in your world, I didn't say all, but quite a number, that is, those that can be reached at all by the power of thought, are being helped, particularly in Russia. I know this may sound odd to some people, but the point is there are certain scientists in Russia who have realized for some considerable time the power of thought and what thought can do and the transmission of thought. Indeed, they've even conducted very serious experiments on these lines. And even this links up with what you call space orbitary or space travel. In other words, a lot of these things that are happening are things that they receive and have certain amount of guidance from entities and souls from different planets. You see, just as we are anxious to get in touch with you, so there are certain souls from different spheres or different worlds that are also anxious. In other words, you see, you are trying to see not life in one sense, then it's not life purely as you have experienced the interpersonal communication of astral and even those who are more highly advanced. The point is that the innumerable worlds that have life, not just the Earth.
Yes.
It's natural for people to assume one end of one Earth that that is the only world. But even so, science on your side is beginning to prove the possibility of life on other planets, but the miracle is the things that will come to pass will prove beyond any shadow of a doubt that the, by the very effort of certain individuals and souls from different planets will prove that there is life there of a very high order. And this is a, another form of human life, but more highly developed and highly advanced and more cultured in so many different senses. But we're all part, although we were once on Earth, such as myself, and the other souls that come to once on Earth, and therefore we are of the Earth in as much as the once inhabited it, and we are the same individuals on a higher plane of thought and evolution development than all the places on these other planets. There are other souls, some who have never had Earth life at all on some planet, but have only had life on their own particular planet, but their life there is not necessarily limited to Earth time, shall we say, 70 or 80 years, but it could be millions of years. I know this sounds crazy, but the point is that once we grasp the reality of life and outside of time, outside of space as you know, where there are no limitations. I mean, your limitations are because you are in a certain kind of world of material nature, which is at a certain rate of vibration and revolution, and the whole thing is that you are limited by the very conditions of your world, which do not apply to the spiritual world, and certainly do not apply to some of the other worlds in space, which are in a sense and really are part of the spiritual world, but they're not necessarily people in those worlds who once had an Earth life, but only a life of their own, which is of a higher order and higher evolution. And their world is older than the Earth.
Yes.
Once one can grasp the reality of the fact that the Earth world is only the baby in space,
yes,
and the others are indeed so much more highly evolved and so anxious to help, particularly when they see the possibilities of change taking place in your world that could be disastrous. In other words, we are all concerned, whether it's we on this side of the spheres, the spiritual spheres, and those on the highly evolved spiritual spheres, or whether it is those who live on other planets or in other worlds, but also because we are all linked together. One must always realize that we are part of each other, we're not separate. We may seem separate, in a sense we are separate, but the fundamental spirit that animates every soul is fundamentally the same. It's all in the atmospheric space condition of life. It just happens that we are in different conditions of it, but we're all part of it. We're all living in these varying worlds at varying levels, but we're all the same in the fundamental thing. Only on different strata of being or experience or levels of evolution.
Yes.
Once we can grasp the reality of this, the same as the sun is important to the earth and the moon, so you are affected by these varying worlds, some of which you cannot, some of which you see and others you do not even know of. I mean, when you think of the millions of stars, which in themselves are all worlds, not necessarily all worlds with life on them, as you know it, it's true. But nevertheless, when you look into the heavens and realize the immensity of life that is there, unknown, unseen, but nevertheless a real world, everyone a real world, and in some cases worlds more real than your own, more solid, more immense, more full of life than yours, that within a whole point is that the Earth world really, in comparison to many of these worlds, is the baby.
Yes.
It's only a little tiny chip of one of the others that fell into space umpteen million years ago. It's very difficult to explain this, and I'm only giving a...
You explain it very, very well, Stephen.
But I only know what I'm learning. I only know what I've been told, and much of it, of course, I cannot verify, and much of it I haven't yet experienced in a personal sense, but I accept it because it's to me, knowing what I know now, what I've seen and what I've experienced, everything else becomes logical. I mean, I know there are many things that some of us may try to tell you, which looked at purely on a material level or basis, doesn't seem logical, because you cannot understand or grasp it, because the limitation of the earth and the conditions of earth under which you exist and live have your being. But the whole point is that we are real, more real indeed, than you are in your world, more studied than you are in a state. Although it's a different community, it's a different condition. Nevertheless, our world is so real, so marvelously real, so full of vitality and life, so full of interest, so full of all the things indeed that really are beyond your comprehension. But this is even so, maybe, and I'm sure it is, in comparison to some worlds or some conditions of life, almost you might say, insignificant, but there's no world and no condition of life can be insignificant. But when one realizes the reality of one's own life here and the possibility of that which is yet to be, when one has experienced more progressive consciousness, and the reality of the world that are in space, and we can travel out eventually and communicate with souls in these other worlds, and these other souls from other worlds come to us and try to help us and educate us and explain things to us. And we have science, it's just the same as you do. It's a different form of science, as true as it well must be, because the conditions and everything are vastly different. But there are people on this side who are what you would call scientists, the same as there are people on this side, and what you would call musicians, or what you would call artists, or indeed, in every form, in every way, life continues, and one has the interest and the desires in certain directions, and one progresses accordingly. That is why this is a world of such joy and beauty and reality and everything, because here everyone finds their niche, everyone finds their opportunity, everyone is enabled to take up some work or some interest which appeals to them, to which they can give themselves completely and enjoy, and at the same time be of service. And then, well, I mean, everything here is, I don't know, it's all as it should be. Everything seems to fit in into a kind of pattern in which we all blend in harmony, and yet at the same time, with all our knowledge and experience, with all our joy and our happiness, we are ever conscious of the greater realities of life all around and about us, and the possibility of greater expression and the greater knowledge that is yet to come. This is a world of constant movement and change, and yet change of such a kind that one feels there's so much to experience, so much to do, there's so much to know, so much to learn, and one is not doing it entirely on one's own, one's sharing it with others with love and companionship. There is no ache or pain or old age, none of the things which mar and spoil, as they must do on earth, for the very nature of things. This is a world which no one needs fear coming to. It is a world of revelation, a world of hope, and a world of beauty, and a world full of vitality, in which every human being, every soul, is enabled to take up and to find for themselves that which most appeals, which is for them right, even though it may be temporary. I mean, the point is, of course, one does progress, obviously, and one sees the need to perhaps work in another direction or in another way, or perhaps indeed there may be several things that one may wish to do, and one may do, and one may learn, and one may experience. We're all the time blending, as it were, moulding, not only ourselves and others, near and dear to us. If only one could find words to explain this, you know, it all seems so impossible. All I can say is that this is an exciting reality, and no one need fear it.
Well, thank you, Stephen. Thank you very much.
You know, it seems ages since I spoke to you, and I feel that it's so difficult sometimes to, when one does have the opportunity to find how can one explain something, how can one express something, you know.
Yes.
But I can assure you that at least these visitations that have been happening recently are good, and they are for a very definite purpose. And I think that I'm sure I'm right in saying this, that there will be more to experience in that direction, and there will be certain evidences brought forward which will support what I've said. I think this has got to be. I think it is very much, well, then the next few weeks, I think that this is something that is being done, because man has got to learn to live harmoniously. I think he's got to be shaken out of this terrible sort of dilemma in which he finds himself, where there's so much hatred and malice and intolerance, and we've just got to make the world see that they've got to live together harmoniously and pull together for the common good. And once they realize, I think, the immensity of space and what goes on in space, the light that is in space, and the great possibility for themselves if they work close in harmony with love. You see, we've got to bring brotherliness and love and happiness and peace in the world. We're doing it in every way we can. We're striving everywhere. Mediumship's very wonderful to be able to come and speak like this. But not everybody, of course, is prepared to accept it. There's too much prejudice and ignorance. But if we can do something in another sense, in another way, what may seem, and will be, of course, eventually proved scientifically, that's going to be possibly the way in which we shall achieve a great deal. We hope so, anyway.
Yes.
You see, although I'm not actually, in a sense, linked or connected with what I've been referring to in the way of spacecraft and other planets, at the same time, a filtering, I can only use the term filtering of knowledge, has been coming to me about it. And, well, we all are aware that this is happening just as you are.
Yes.
Although you're, in a sense, in the dark, to some extent, we're not exactly in the dark, but we don't know yet, we can't say fully exactly what is, well, going to be the outcome. We can only hope it will be the outcome, put it like that, but we know the possibilities are great, and that whatever is transpiring in that direction is the ultimate good of the human race. It's not something that's being done haphazard, it's not something that anyone needs fear. It's done in love and in desire to help and to service humanity. No one need worry about it. It's all for the good anyway.
Yes.
Anyway, you watch the papers and
yes,
you
I will.
But I feel sure I should be proved right in this, because they have been making some very definite attempts the past few weeks. And I think that there's bound to be more of this. And I think that there will definitely be definite signs of such a nature that no one could refute it. Of course, you see, the trouble is that I do feel that for the time it may be feasible or possible that certain people in high places may be themselves anxious to suppress news of this.
Oh, dear.
You know how it is. I mean, through ignorance and fear, possibly, but I think it's got to filter through, because I think these things will come. These things must come, and they will come. But don't be surprised if in the next few weeks there are definite, well, things happen which will prove, I think, certainly, to many people anyway, beyond any shadow of a doubt, the reality of this attempt at communication on that particular level, you know, science.
Yes.
Because this is real. This isn't imaginary. This isn't something just that someone's dreamed up. This is a real attempt by intelligent beings from other planets to communicate with us. I can assure you of that.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm scared.
Well, thank you,
all my love,
and bless you.
And for heaven's sake, take care of yourself. Marshall's been working with himself like billionaire on your part, looking after you, you know. And you must rest and not overtax yourself.
No.
Anyway, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Stephen.
It was good tonight.
Oh, dear. Wonderful.
Oh. I think we might wait especially for Steve so that you could have a long conversation with him. He's very keen, really interested in his spacecraft and all these things, you know. He's quite a, well, quite a character, you know. He's interested in everything.
Yes. And he speaks most...
Yes, of course it is impossible for us to... I don't think anyone can really explain in a language, you know, that you can follow quite as technical as that. I mean, I don't know. I know it's definitely happening.
Hmm. It's
definitely happening.
Yes.
And there will be definite experiences by individuals and collectively by people of these manifestations, of these landings, and there will be photographs which will be highly evidential.
Photographs, yes, I believe so. I read that today.
Anyway, you'll hear more about it. Anyway, Auntie Rose, now you look after yourself. I'm very glad to have her with you, because she's a nice lady.
Yes,
she's very fond of you, and she'll look after you.
Yes.
And she's been a good girl, ain't she?
She's a sweet girl.
Anyway, your mummy sends her out, and your brother, and everybody, and they all want you to know they're with you constantly.
Yes. Thank you,
darling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, dear.
Well, at last, we're getting something like a city, aren't we?
Yes.